Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Here's a question being whispered about out on the edges of the Chicago Way, and I think you should be in on it since it involves you and your city. I'm here in the WGN studios high up over Chicago looking down at the river, but I can still see the Chicago Way, and I can see the boys who know things on the curb, on the corners, whispering. They're not standing in the middle of the road waving their arms and shouting it out loud. They're just whispering without even moving their lips. And what they're whispering about is this. Is Rahm Emanuel running for re-election as mayor? Or will he pull the plug? Is Emanuel getting so beat up by citizens, by Democrats, by events, that he'll just pull the plug, take his $10 million in campaign money and walk away? Is Rahm in or is he out? Because if he was in, you'd expect him to be in already. No? But he's not in already, not officially. And that's the whisper. The whisper they make without moving their lips. And when they don't move their lips, Casso's ears pick up. Let's just say for conversation that it happens, that Rahm bolts, gives up, cites family concerns, exhaustion, the need for a new face or new answers. That leaves Pritzker and David Axelrod to use their media contacts and prop up Arnie Duncan. Or maybe call upon former White House chiefess Valerie Jarrett to save Chicago from itself and clean up after Rahm, who isn't exactly her favorite tiny dancer. Control is everything, and they're the establishment now, and the establishment hates losing control. And Axelrod and others are part of it, because once you hold Chicago in your hand, you don't want to lose it. All this isn't set in stone, but it's out there, being considered, being talked about, because the ground is moving, rumbling under their feet. An earthquake is coming. The Laquan McDonald trial is coming. And Rahm Emanuel will wear the jacket for all the bad that comes with it. And just like the last time we talked here about Jerry Joyce Jr., son of Kaiser Sosa, Jeremiah Joyce, getting into the mayoral race, I've decided something. I just don't think you should be the last ones to know what's going on out there. When it's out there, when people are talking about it, when they're whispering without moving their lips, and I know about it, I'm going to tell you, because I owe you that, to tell you. Rahm was supposed to announce his re-election around now, but he's waiting, hesitating. Despite his fiddling with police manpower, after not hiring the cops he promised, he's thrown police into high-crime areas. But what happened at the start of the weekend? Two people were shot in downtown Chicago early Friday. One in a Streeterville parking garage and the other along the river. In downtown Chicago, people are getting gut shot. And now, Democratic candidate for Attorney General Kwame Raoul is ripping into Rahm for blaming the black community for the violence. Mayoral candidate Lori Lightfoot is saying Rahm is engaging in victim shaming. Everybody in Chicago politics is looking for a solid place to stand with that Laquan McDonald earthquake coming, but they don't want to stand next to Rahm. His city hall sat on that police shooting video of Laquan McDonald, that black teenager, shot 16 times by a white cop, and they held it and sat on it until after Rahm's election. He says he didn't see it while it was being hidden from the public. Nobody believes that. You don't. I don't. Nobody believes it. And what happens if the white cop walks? Just think about that. Because Rahm's thinking about it. Every candidate is thinking about it, making their calculations. The establishment wanting to hold control of the city of Chicago is thinking about it. A roast lamb, a sacrifice, might appease the angry crowds if things go really bad. And that lamb is Rahm. So is Rahm going to stick around or not? We'll see. There's so much more to talk about, and we've got one of my favorite talkers, Stephanie Trussell of WLS Radio, the Stephanie Trussell Show, to talk to. She's really a courageous woman. It's tough enough being a conservative behind the iron blue curtain. I know. But being a black conservative, being called out as not black because of your views. And as always, co-host Jeff Carlin, executive producer of WGN Radio's Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis, is here offering reason, always ready to pull me back from the edge of the cliff before I fall over. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, tomato gardener, Aretha Franklin mourner, peach hunter, and yeah, columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And this is the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
So we're here on the Chicago Way, Jeff Carlin, John Cass, and I'd just like to put it on the record that I write four columns a week for the Chicago Tribune and two for the Chicago Way podcast, because we're doing two now. That's a lot of writing, man. You know, and people complain, oh, I don't want to pay for it. Well, then get on the Chicago Way. At least you get two. And find us on iTunes or wherever podcasts can be found, Google Play and so forth. Download, subscribe. It's all free. And you can hear Jeff Carlin tell you what he's thinking. Jeff, I'm going to shut up now. I talk too much.
Oh, John.
You know what happened this week with the Jerry Joyce Kaiser Sosa? Yeah. By the way, awesome.
Thanks.
Kaiser Sosa catch there. And putting the Amazing Grace. I thought you were going to find Southside Irish something rousing, but Amazing Grace was perfect for...
And that was
Franklin, yeah, into her.
And those were, that was the police.
Yeah, that's the police.
Piping police drum.
Was interesting. I don't know if it's interesting to anybody but those listening. Okay, so you're
That's all
listening.
That matters.
Now here's how it works. I talked that Aretha Franklin part out on the Chicago Way. And then I wrote the column after I talked it out. So it was almost, it's almost like we're talking with listeners about things that I'm talking out loud about what I'm going to write. I'm trying to think it out.
Yeah.
It's
behind the castle curtain.
Pardon?
We're behind the castle curtain.
Yeah, but I don't have the thoughts complete sometimes, and I let my mouth is running and my thoughts aren't there, and I hesitate while I'm trying to edit in the middle of a sentence. Like, there was this part about Aretha when Franklin died and we become unstuck in time. And then when I sat down a few minutes later after I sent you the audio file, it was when someone like Aretha dies, think of a pin being pulled from a wheel. And the wheel drops and begins to roll away. But I couldn't have gotten to that line in the column if I hadn't talked it out on the Chicago Way. Is that too much inside baseball?
No, I think it's great. I mean, that's, like I said, behind the castle curtain. Yeah. The there's nothing is as intimate as the tomato garden, that's for sure.
Yeah, the tomato garden. I kind of like it. I do. I've been told by political people, two congressmen and an alderman. Yeah, Rahm, you're always invited too, man, to come here and tell me that you're really going to run and you're not going to set up Arnie Duncan to take over or Valerie Jarrett. I know you love that. They've said that when I do it from the tomato garden, I'm more personal. But I come down here and I become columnist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're definitely
Isn't
more.
Isn't that weird? Because I got the.
Yeah,
you know,
you got the blazer suspenders and the.
Yeah, the Orvis shirt and everything. Squire, the country squire in town on a day, you know? Right?
Right, exactly. No, it's good stuff. I love it. That's, I mean, that the listening to it, and most people don't get this, but I listen to that tape when you sent it to me a couple of times. I mean, I just, on my way to the bus, coming home.
Right.
Whatever.
You're editing just like I would edit.
Yeah, and, but I listen to it in real, I listen to the full thing in real time, and then I clean up some of the, you know, the issues. And
you cut out the coughing, the coughing, snorting, the John drops the phone.
John dropping his phone. And but it's great because every time it's, I mean, I can see you sitting in the tomato garden and I can hear, you know, the urbanness or the suburbanness rather around you. Right. And it's just such a, it's such a fun feeling.
The birds.
Yeah, the birds.
I'm like Francis of Assisi.
Exactly.
You know, speaking of my love for animals, Ben Burton is a, he's one of the founders of the Section 8. Mm-hmm. At the Chicago Fire, and they're in a war with the ownership of the fire right now.
Yeah.
So that's why some of the fans don't go. And he sent me something about, because I went out with Peter Bella and Gary Wivia to this great, I know you don't eat meat, but too bad, because it's this great goat place.
Sure.
And he sends a response to me, a picture of a little baby goat being fed by a bottle. And I'm rushing to get to the Chicago Way, and I'm trying to do the, monologue that I just did. And I've got Twitter and everything else that I got to do, you know, for the column.
Sure.
And I stupidly responded to him, and he's a good guy. And I responded to him saying, with a baby goat, you know, little like a gif, like sucking down the milk, little cute little baby goat. And I said, just wait a few weeks so it puts more weight on. And I haven't even had time to go back and delete it. And they're all the left is like, you scumbag, geez. I hate you. You hateful. You're so hateful. Aretha Franklin hates your guts from the grave.
Oh, man, that's brutal.
That's what Justin was saying. I ran into Justin on the way.
Justin Kaufman, yeah.
Justin Kaufman. And I said, what's going on today? And he said, people are calling in screaming about Trump's tweet about Aretha.
Yeah.
Why are they upset?
Well, it's the weird. It's like Trump is almost in an effect like Two-Face from Batman. Like if you're on one side of his face and he's just, you know, he's trying to do what's right. And this may just be the people writing tweets that are supposed to be out there like him. So if you're just looking just at his Twitter, just look at Twitter, you've got the stuff where it's like, oh, congratulations, or, you know, Memorial Day, and there's a great, you know, tweet presidential kind of thing. And then there's the other side of Trump when he's, you know, probably rolling out of bed or doing his morning whatever, and he's tweeting about whatever he's watching.
The
on
one
Fox.
Strand of hair,
yeah,
right?
Right. And so then when that thing pops, you're like, oh, come on, really?
Wait a second. The guy said, I didn't read it, but I heard about it. He said something nice, like Aretha Franklin was awesome. I'm sorry she's gone. And they're angry.
Yeah,
you don't have any right to like Aretha Franklin.
It's disingenuous. I mean, it's the same week he called another black woman he hired three times a dog, and then he got
fired from other shows.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah.
Wait, I mean, here's the thing. I can't wait to have Stephanie Trussell in here, because here's the thing. You know, Stephanie Trussell. I mean, I was at WLS when you were there,
yeah,
and she won the. Like
talk a, star, next talk star.
Yeah, next. Yeah. It was an audition.
Yeah.
And she won it. And she's started to become, I mean, she's built up show. She's good.
She's worked at it for.
Here's the thing, she's African American. So when African Americans don't do what white liberals want them to do, they're not black anymore.
Right. I think that's all it is. I think, I mean, it's obviously anything Trump tweets is getting, no matter what it is, is there's a selection of the populace who's going to freak their crap out, but
including John Brennan,
But I think that it's, for people to take a shot at that or get upset, they're just ignorant to the fact that he's still president. He still has, there's still people behind him who are like, we need to do, our goal for your Twitter is to make it, to be that presidential figure.
The Jeff Carlin types.
Right.
That John, don't.
Right.
Don't tweet at Ben Burton about how you want to eat his baby goat in 4 weeks.
Exactly.
When it puts weight on.
Right. Exactly. Right? Exactly. So those people are just dumb. Those people are as dumb as the people. And
you can say it.
They're as dumb as
just
the people.
Say it.
People on the other side who say anybody who protests, any liberal out there screaming about something or saying is a fool for having an opinion. You're not seeing the forest for the trees. That's really.
Well, you can't have an opinion now because 350 newspapers have, including mine, have all gotten a lockstep saying we're together against Trump, but we're not colluding
right
against Trump. What?
Yeah.
I can't wait for Stephanie Trussell.
You like potatoes, and I like potato. You like tomato, and I like tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Oh, let's call the whole thing off. But all
okay, now we're back Chicago way with Jeff Carlin and me, John Cass. And joining us is, I'm so happy that she's here, Stephanie Trussell of the Stephanie Trussell Show. You might know her on Twitter at Reagan Mom,
yes.
And she's on Facebook and everything. And she won the
Next Talk Star contest 6 years ago, where I was just guaranteed a wonderful trip to Mexico, a limo ride to the station for one show. That was all I was guaranteed. And at that time, that's all I could foresee doing, sweaty palms or whatever. And that was 6 years ago, and I'm still on the radio. It's some kind of fluke, or it's just an amazing opportunity as a super fan of a radio station. And then all of a sudden, you win a contest and you get to be on that station. I'm still trying to process how that happened, but I'm so happy that every week my card works and they let me in the studio and I get to go to the microphone 50,000 watts and get to rant as this crazy grandma that drives around the suburbs in her minivan. So it's a blessing.
And it's on Saturday afternoons?
3 to 6, because right. Larry Kudlow got a better job, if you guys haven't heard. He works for the White House now. So they gave me his time slot, which right. is an honor. I'm so happy to be there for 3 hours. So,
Jeff, isn't it amazing look at me. I can't even enunciate without I put pebbles in my mouth every day to practice before I come down here. Demosthenes. But when she started to now.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, Jeff, you were so kind to me. So many people just thought this was a fluke and didn't really want to entertain this at that time. It wasn't a grandma. I was just a housewife and a mom that won the silly contest, and I was overwhelmed and meeting so many people. But Jeff, you gave me such good advice. I haven't taken it. No, you told me I should listen to myself. You said go back and listen to it, and I do that now. It's a lot easier. But so many people were so mean to me. People that I idolized were mean, but I remember all the people that were super nice to me, and I remember just your kindness and your willing to just offer advice. And some people just never even looked at me and just ignored me and were mean, but that was okay. It helped me.
What is that? By the way, was I one of those mean people?
No, not at all. You were so kind. But, I think a lot of people have worked really hard in radio. They start on Saturday nights doing, and then all of a sudden this silly woman wins this contest and they got a co-host with her. I kind of got it, that they just didn't think, they thought it was a fluke, and I did too.
I think some of them are unhinged.
Well,
I know them, okay?
Right.
Some are unhinged and some are decent people, but they're competitive. And Jeff told me, and Jake used to say, don't read those, feeder comments.
Yeah.
Oh,
comments,
oh, my gosh.
Don't.
Like when you're in the studio and they have the text messages. And I remember one, this was my second or third time on the radio. And I read it and it said, let's play a drinking game. Every time Stephanie Trussell says, or take a drink. And I'm like, I've only been on the radio 10 minutes. I was driving my minivan last week. And don't be so brutal to me. So, I had to realize that I can't look at those and take them so personally. But I did say, and a lot. So, but again, I was so nervous, and not to say that I still don't do it way too much. But
guess what? Anybody who says that to Stephanie Trussell can kiss my. Okay, all right, Steph. Great. Let's get into the politics of the thing, because you do talk politics.
Oh,
and
serious. I tried a very serious show. I try to be funny occasionally, but I try to hit all. You won't come to my show looking for recipes unless my husband's a guest. But no, I'm talking about serious issues in Chicago, especially nationally. But right now in Chicago, we are. we are in desperate need of some leadership. And this time when everybody wants to be the mayor, this is a great time to be on the radio. And I've had the pleasure, you know, you've had some candidates on and I have too. And this, I get excited when they come downtown on a Saturday to be on my little show. And
it's not a little show. A lot of people, you know, listen to it.
Well, I keep hearing that. But, yeah. You know, this is very serious. I don't know what.
What's going to happen?
You know, who, why, where? I think, in my personal opinion, I think Rahm Emanuel has enough money and power that he's going to win again. That's just me. I would like to believe that's not the case, but I just don't see enough people
You're
speaking
seeking emotional safety there.
Well, you know, when he gets to come to the Bud Billiken parade and he's not booed, the fact that he's even invited to come after everything they always talk about, what he did to the black and brown community, and he walks through this thing. Now, he did walk faster than what he normally walks, I will say that.
Did he walk with his heels in and his toes out, kind of like that turned-out dancer thing? You
know? I think his handlers told him it was a 5K, because he ran. He was whoosh. I was like, well, what happened? I happened to go out there with my mom. She lives on 35th and King. But when did this parade, what used to be back to school, now it's this political parade where they're bashing the president at this parade, which irritated me, but every candidate's coming through. Even Tony Preckwinkle got this amazing reception. I'm like, they should be throwing like packets of sugar at her or something. Look what she tried to do to you guys, what she did and was undone. But they just all is forgiven. Yeah, okay, it's a great parade. And we need to talk about who's going to save the city. We almost need a hero, somebody with a cape and a, you know, an S on their shirt or something.
He's got a cape and a black hat and boots. He's the Latino candidate. He's Zorro, Mayor
the
Zorro.
The Latino candidate. Yeah,
that's Zorro, the mayor, isn't he?
It's so interesting you would mention the Latino candidate. Where is the Latino candidate?
Rahm Emanuel, Mayor Zorro.
I know they threw Chewy a bone, and he's got this other thing to worry about now. He's so excited about getting that. But we've got, you know, almost every demographic representative. But I'm like, where's the Hispanic coalition, as they always talk about? I was just surprised that no one has stepped up. Well, I'm mad that no Republicans have stepped up to run for office, but that's another step. There has to be. I know. I keep saying that if I could find my wedding dress and put it in my mom's house, I would run for president. But I can't find a dress from back then. I don't know where it is. Because I run for president. I'm sorry, run for mayor. We need somebody that at least is getting the message out, even if they think there's no way in heck I'm going to win. But what the heck? Go ahead and run. Yeah, why not?
At the beginning of this podcast, I do a monologue and said, the question is, I don't know, is Rahm Emanuel really going to run? Because he was supposed to announce already, and he hasn't.
Oh.
And and he's getting beat up now by black Democrats on the liberal Obama, you know, on the Obama pouch. And they're beating him up. And, you know, Arne Duncan is coming up, and maybe Valerie Jarrett will come. And where's Rahm? I don't see Rahm's
officially
announcing.
But didn't he say when he ran the second time that he wasn't, there was rumors that he wasn't going to run a third time? Vote for me this time and I won't do this again.
And then Laquan McDonald comes.
Yeah.
So is he going to announce, like, say if they don't get if Rahm doesn't get the verdict he needs politically, whether that's the right verdict or the wrong verdict or fair trial or not fair trial, the political verdict he wants is conviction. And if he doesn't get it,
What happens to the city
and then with Rahm?
Because people are thinking automatically that the city will burn. If they don't get the verdict that they want with this case, with so many other cases nationally where they find that the police officer or whoever wasn't at fault. What about Ferguson?
The cop wasn't at fault and it still burned.
Yeah.
So, gosh.
I know. And I mean, just looking at this case from a 30,000-foot view, it's very likely that the cop's not going to get it. I mean, a murder one charge is hard to push on a cop. Oh, yeah. You went out there planning to kill somebody? Right. I mean, do you prove that?
Why did they charge him such an intense charge? Go with something more logical, manslaughter or something, whatever. But that's all, like you said, it's very hard to prove that he got up that morning, he was determined to kill somebody in the line of duty. That just makes no sense.
But does it make sense politically to charge him with murder? Because if you don't, Rahm said on that video, and so everybody else has to pay. Mm-hmm. All the people of Chicago, all the cops, everybody has to pay because he had to sit on the video because he didn't want it out while he was running for election against Chewy.
Right.
So we're all paying for it.
It's such a dirty game. It's so, you know, watching how the sausage gets made behind the scenes. And these cases, when you read in the paper how many cases are settled in millions of dollars. And it's like, we need, something's got to be done. And I love police officers, and that's not the issue. But I think with training, there's some, they have a PR problem right now in Chicago, the police officers, and they need to come up with something, because that's a lot of money to constantly just pay out to families because, you know, it just looks bad and they don't want to go to trial. And that's a lot of money. And as you said, the taxpayers and people that don't even live here, I feel like every time I come to the city, I try to get in and out without paying one of those fees. You know, if I don't, this is what I do when I go to a grocery store.
Tax Winkle tax?
I refuse. I smuggled in my soda from the western suburbs during that time. But I was just at a store after the parade on Saturday over in 35th and King or whatever. And I said, "Do you charge that bag tax?" And he said, "Yeah." And I just start, "Well, I'm from the suburbs. I'm not accustomed. No, I'm just going to carry my stuff." And I start whining. Then he gives me the bag anyway. But I refuse to give them 7 cents. I just won't do it, you know. But it's just they get you coming and going. And if I get in and out without having to pay a fee, it's a victory for me. But, you know, again, I just feel bad for the people that are living here and dealing with this. And I don't know how far along. How long is this case going to take? I know it'll be wrapped up long before the election. So
let's hope. You know, that's why I'm wondering if he's going to wait till after the election to announce. I mean, after the case to announce.
Right. That is something. Yeah.
Or not. If he doesn't, it'll be Valerie Jarrett riding to the rescue. Obama hugging her, giving her a big.
I thought she lived with the Obamas in D.C. in their coach house or something. Does she even have a residence here?
I don't know.
Does she have a wedding dress here too?
I don't know. Maybe not a maybe it's not a wedding dress, but maybe a rug or something.
Oh, ouch. Okay, I'm gonna leave that alone. Okay.
You know? I'm just saying any kind of rug.
Could be an IKEA rug. You don't know. Something. Well, her daughter recently got married. Maybe her daughter has a wedding dress. I don't know. But yeah, so that's gonna be interesting. I know there are a lot of names that people keep still floating around that may jump in.
Arne Duncan. Come on, is that when you think of someone who can run the city, do you think Arne Duncan?
Because he did such a good job with the Chicago Public Schools, yes, and being the head of education nationally. Yeah, so that's the guy that you want to put in charge of the city that's billions of dollars in debt and all the issues that we have. But we need somebody with a clear, concise message. Have you had the 22-year-old kid that's running for mayor?
Jamal?
Yeah, Jamal.
No, he's reached out. I haven't had him yet.
Yeah,
did you have him?
No, I haven't had him yet. I met him at the parade.
We had Willie. And he told me to fly.
Then the next week he gives out money. I'm like, why didn't he tell me to do it?
You know, I know.
He never gave me a heads up that next Sunday you should be in this line, because one line's going to be $10 bills and the other one's going to be hundreds. And I'm like, geez, you know, I tried to get his attention at the parade, but I couldn't get over to the Mercedes fast enough. But
he asked Jeff and me if we could find some white people for it. He goes, "You got any, John, if you find 100 white people." I was like, okay, Willie.
He's going to pay you per head, or how's this working?
Yeah, he wanted to give money to, he thought that at the church thing, he gave out more money to African Americans.
Yeah, he was getting criticized.
He's just going to the wrong church. I'm sure
that's what he says.
Go to Rogers Park. I'm sure there's people.
Here's the thing about being a conservative. Conservatives don't play the identity politics.
Oh, right. We don't do that.
And some of us, at least I, don't think of it as an ideology, but more like a temperament.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I put myself in my idols would be, you know, Ronald Reagan, Buckley, and people like that. However, Democrats in the media because they're mostly liberal. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jeff, but it's true.
Why are we saying
no? Because you're giving me a look like, where's he going? He's going to get himself in trouble with the Tribune. And I heard something the other day. This has been happening in the past. Clarence Thomas was not black enough. Even Barack Obama.
In the beginning.
He was not black, remember?
Right, he was somebody nobody sent. He had a weird name in Chicago politics. He was running
Bobby
against
Rush then,
Bobby
Rush.
Right.
You're not black enough.
Right.
And Condoleezza Rice, when she became Secretary of State, then all of a sudden the question was, is she black? And I'm thinking, what does that mean? I know, just so you know, Stephanie Trussell is an African American. Okay,
well, I prefer to be called black. I don't know why they have to hyphenate us, but
I've
I'm black.
So,
I know what
I've
you mean.
I've been so like whipped. Like
I know
a
you
dog.
Don't know what to call them.
I'm
you
like
know,
a
we've been
scared
colored
little.
Negro, whatever. I just like black. It's simple, you know.
Right.
I unfortunately for some, I used to term liberal color people a lot, and they get mad at me. But I'm like, if the NAACP can still use color, why can't I use color? So I don't make a lot of friends with that. But this whole black card, and it's so funny. We didn't prep. This is something that I caught this morning. I just tweeted about that. Why do Democrats feel that they can can take away my black card because I don't live on a donkey plantation and I've chosen to a different party. And they'll decide, like Omarosa, the article is and what I've been listening to liberal radio a lot. Should we give her a black card back? Should we invite her to the cookout and let her bring the potato salad?
Is she black again?
I'm like, what? They always bemoan what this packaging means, no matter where you are and you're black and they see you as black and it comes with all this negative stuff. But you're going to say that she's not really black because she's not a Democrat or I'm not black. And I love when I'm debating younger millennial Democrats. And I'm like, I've been black longer than you. So, you know, how are you going to come and get my black card is what I'm saying. I have the receipts. I know who I am. I don't try to be anybody else because they accuse us of trying to be white because we're Republicans, which is so ridiculous. I'm not trying to pass.
When you see children in schools, mm-hmm. and the one thing that infuriates me probably more than anything, when kids who are trying to learn and read, like say a little boy, mm-hmm. and he wants to read Robert Louis Stevenson, for example, Treasure Island. People are like,
"How old is this little boy?"
I don't know. I'm making him up. He's 10 years old. Uh-huh, 10 years old. Okay, mm-hmm. and he wants to read that, and people are like, "What? Are you acting white? Why are you acting white?" That's to me. The liberals are the most racist people around.
They are horrible, and they think that trying to improve yourself and do better, why is that considered acting white? Any other culture that comes here from Asia or any other, they come here and trying to learn to speak the English properly, that's a good thing. But for black people, what are you doing? You know, at one point, wasn't it Jesse Jackson that wanted Ebonics to be an official language? Let's lower the bar and just make this another language. And it's like, that's not being white. That's just, you're speaking the language of commerce and you want to be able to do well, speak well, and make money and do everything.
You sound like a mom and a teacher.
Why would you encourage them to do better and do, and you know, me, I grew up on the west side of Chicago. I went to Catholic schools and I was tortured by nuns. But I always joke that I butcher the King's English all the time. And I love the fact that my kids who are educated in DuPage County, they correct me all the time. Mom, you know, you used the predicate before. And I'm like, thank goodness. Well, leave me alone. I'm a crazy old woman. But I don't understand that certain behavior is, even negative behavior is associated with the black culture and you're down with the peeps if you can do this. And any other culture would say that's a bad thing to do this, but that's associated with, oh, that's our culture. And
how
that rap
someone
music.
Say that you're not black because... Or I'm going to take your black card away because you believe in limited government and in liberty.
And taking more of my money home, yeah, all the good stuff.
Why is that, Jeff? Well, what do you make of that? White guy, pink skin guy?
That's right, very pink.
Ginger?
Very pink ginger.
You know, I'm kind of like, we're just white in 67. Okay?
Right, so. No, I know. Yeah. Oh, no, yes, I got it.
When Jackie Kennedy got married.
Oh, then you guys got
then
in.
Right.
Oh,
white.
You weren't in the club yet.
No,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Right. They weren't allowed. You know, it's funny because it goes, and it goes almost, not to the same extent, but both ways, because then you get people who embrace, you know, African-American culture, like African culture. I mean, people, or black culture, urban culture. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just throwing this out there because it's a name, but like an Eminem type gets ripped because he's, oh my God, how dare he? You know, how could you be like that? He grew up in urban Detroit.
And that's what, you know, I don't know much about Pit. I don't know much about Pit Bull, but he was on that Fox show, Objectify. Yeah. I didn't know that he, Cuban, blonde hair, blue eye guy, but grew up and that's who he is. That's all he knew. When they showed a picture of his basketball team, he's the one white face on with all black. That was his neighborhood and that's why he talks like that. So you can't say they're being fake. That's just all they know.
Right. I just think that it's so racist for, especially for those who control the dialogue.
Right.
I'm going to say who's black and who's not.
Right.
If anyone else said that to them, they would freak out.
Completely.
And be called, you know what I mean? They would just...
And, you know, my hashtag is white liberals are ruining the planet. And when they had that shutdown over it, and Rogers, up and on the north side, Lakeshore Drive, I profiled the white liberals standing out there with signs. And overall, they think that having this skin that I'm in is a disability and they're here to help me. And I'm like, just get out of my way. I don't need your help. It's not a disability. And they just get so, they look at me.
They want to help you.
What's wrong with you? Right. I want to make sure. And I'm listening. I used my press pass that day just to interrupt people's conversation. I see these two tall white guys talking and they happen to be pastors. You know, I live in Downers Grove and my church adopts a church in Austin and, you know, they're helping and they're the masses. And I said, well, wouldn't it be better if these people just moved out to Downers Grove where you get to sleep with the cricket sounds and the good schools, but you want them to stay here where they'll feel more comfortable and you can come out and help them once a month and say you've done something. I'm like, get out. That's my message to anybody that cares about their children. They want them educated. I grew up on the west side in the 70s where I could ride my bike to the store where it was safe. The schools were still crappy, but at least it was a safe environment. Now it's, you know, don't even talk about the failing education-wise, but the schools with the rats and roaches, and then the sexual abuse going on in the school. Why would you stay here?
No one seems to care.
They just, nobody's, no outrage about the fact that 500 and something people over kids over a 10-year period of time were targeted and abused, or whatever those incidents that happened. Where's the outrage over that? No other corporation could get away with failing children and targeting children like Chicago Public School has. And I, you know what? Even if they granted everything these people are demanding, they're shutting down all these highways, next is the Kennedy, but those kids are still going to failing schools with rats and roaches in blighted neighborhoods. So my question is to everybody, and they said to me, Stephanie, not everybody can leave. And I said, well, who deserves to be left behind and not go to great schools and not have the quality of life that you want for your children? I tell everybody, save your money, cut cable, drive old cars, move to a suburb where your kids can get a great education. They don't have to go to the good school or the bad school. And then come on the weekends and help and volunteer in Chicago. But you need to, your kids only have one opportunity to be educated. And if you waste it waiting for, you know, Karen Lewis, well, whoever, hope she gets better soon, whoever's going to precede her, if you're waiting for them and Rahm Emanuel to come up with a plan for your children, you're out of luck.
My argument is that I don't think the plan is about the children.
No.
The Chicago Public Schools exist as a huge bureaucracy to serve the unions,
the teachers, yeah,
the vendors,
a fair contract, right.
Yeah, the
and
vendors,
all the contractors
are getting paid. Right.
Back in the day when the Kelly Nash machine took it over from the Protestants, they thought it was the wise guys selling the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had the milk contracts. So it's all about that. It's not about education.
Right. It's about the Stephanie Trussell, the stuff. It's not.
I read in the one. I haven't read good biog. I haven't. I needed to. Maybe do I have to write this? Do I have to write the profile of Stephanie Trussell so I get all the insight?
No.
But there was something that you went to grade school in on the Southwest Side in Market Park.
I went to high school.
High school.
Lawrence High School, 1979. Oh my
Lawrence,
gosh. Lawrence
are you
High
kidding?
School? That's where I was. Just picture this little, you know, freshman. I was I was a nerd. I got to school an hour early. Now, I lived on the west side, and the only time I had been to Marquette Park as a Girl Scout, we went to the bowling alley at Archer, and we were standing at the bus stop, and somebody drove by and said the N-word.
Yeah.
And I would hear about Marquette Park on the news because the KKK would march through there. So I graduated from my private Catholic school on 15th and Keeler. I wanted to go to Cathedral, and my mom insisted that I go to Lord's because her best friend's daughter didn't get in 2 years before, so she's going to show her that I could get in. So here's me, freshman, first day of freshman.
How many buses?
I just took the Pulaski bus to 31st and got on an extension to 56. I didn't want to get off the bus. I was terrified of Marquette Park. I was terrified of going to this all-white school.
Yeah.
And I was, again, they are an hour early, sitting at the, you know, waiting for the nuns to open the door, almost banging, let me in, they're going to get me. And fast forward 4 years later, it was the best experience that I had. My mom worked very hard and sacrificed to pay my tuition. My senior year, she came to me and said, I had no more money. You're going to have to go to a public school. And I started working at McDonald's at 15. I started paying my tuition instead of buying designer jeans. And 35 years in October, we're going to have our reunion. I can't wait to go. All white girls, all that voted for Daley, love me. Now, my grade school, where all black people on 15th and Keeler, I got kicked out of the page because I'm a Republican. I created the page, started the reunion. They won't even speak to me. I've been blocked by most of them.
You're not black enough.
I'm a Republican. When I won the silly contest, I was looking for support. I'm like, if somebody had whispered in my ear when I was standing at 56th and Pulaski waiting for the bus, because if you didn't get on the bus by 3, St. Rita guys and those other people get out of school and drive by and call us names. If somebody had said, Stephanie, in 30 years, you're going to feel more comfortable with this group of people than your own people on 15th and Keeler, I wouldn't have believed them. And they judge me by, the fact that I'm a Republican, instead of that they know my heart and they've known me since second grade or whatever. And when I was kind of terrified, my 30th reunion, I'd already won the contest, very vocal about my feelings. I'm a Christian, so about homosexuality. And I was afraid to walk into my high school reunion. I know there are people that have different lifestyle lesbian. I walk in, I'm always the only black girl that shows up because the black women, I don't know why they don't show up. Arms open wide, can't wait to hug me, support me. They call my show. And I'm like, wait a minute, they're white and they're Democrats and they love me, but black Democrats have nothing to do with me. But, it was a great experience. I'm so happy that I got a chance to go to that school, and my mom was right when she picked that for me. And it's just been, I learned so much. It gave me a superior education. I was more superior than what Chicago Public Schools. Now, my sister went there 1 year, used her clout to get into Whitney Young, and so that was her story. But, you know, it's unfortunate that we weren't able to go to the school in our neighborhood because it wasn't good. I know you live in a town where all the schools are great. You don't have a good high school.
I moved out because a couple politicians came up to me when Betty was pregnant and said, don't worry, wherever you're
going to get you in.
You're going to get in.
Uh-huh.
And I like, what? And they're like, don't worry. No matter what you write about Rich, we'll take care of you. Take care of the kids for school. And I'm like, I realize this is a journalist thing.
Right.
And I don't think I'm the only one that got talked to that mm-hmm. way.
Right.
And I said, I'm out of here.
Right.
Now, one thing you meant, in telling your story about mm-hmm. The school and the shaming mm-hmm. and the black card nonsense, it seems to me that much of what drives the Democratic Party, particularly the liberal side, and they're all liberal, mm-hmm. is shame.
Yeah.
They're shaming everybody. And how does that apply
to
African Americans right. and Trump?
Yeah. Exactly. And Kanye is a prime example. I have he was 19, he's 25 now. Love Kanye. Just all he talks about, mom, he's a musical genius, blah, blah, blah. He's a Democrat. Now, fast forward, Kanye's crazy. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know. So it's so interesting how they, you know, somebody as popular as he is and took the risk to say, hey, this is how I feel and I have to say it. And Trump is even worse because how dare you? I tolerated people that voted for Obama for 8 years. I wasn't mean to them, but it's zero tolerance for anybody that voted for Trump in my packaging, which is interesting. And I'm always asking them, well, what did he do exactly? Tell me, what did he do to black people? And it's just, you know, what is what in my mind, because I used to be afraid of white people. I used to have all these fears. People forget this, that I was born black and I was born a Democrat. So I had all these fears. But then I realized that a lot of them were lies. When I made a decision to move from Roseland to Rogers Park, and they said, you can't move there, you'll never fit in. And I kept thinking, well, you know what, I'll take my chances living on the lake than living over in Roseland Park, where I'm running from the bus to the door every day. Yeah. And whatever. And also the ultimate decision of moving my biracial family to DuPage County, where I was told I'd never fit in. It's just this fear and shame. And people even say to me today, Stephanie, you just accepted a certain lifestyle in DuPage County. You're really not happy there. Like every day I come home and I have to put out a cross in my yard or something, and I'm just not telling anybody. You don't understand. Small town, we cheer for each other's kids on the football team. My husband, the one white guy in our family, he's the one that doesn't fit in because we move into a neighborhood. He's cutting grass too early. I'm like, William, you cannot turn on a snowblower. He makes enemies the moment we move in. I'm waving at the neighbors. They love me. Yeah. They think your husband's crazy. And I said, you know, I'm so glad I didn't listen when somebody said to me, I wouldn't raise a black man in DuPage County. This was a dear family member. And I showed her up. I raised four of them. Well, three and a half. I've got the 13-year-old to go. And my 33-year-old, I tell everybody, Julian could be mayor of my town. Everybody loves him. Love my kids. Even my two middle kids that were kind of bad. People still love them too. And they weren't victims of driving while black. They just, I kept thinking this is a utopia that I live in Lyle. And then when God gave us an opportunity to move all the way to Arizona, where I didn't know anybody. And then for 2 years, I was embraced the same way. And I was like, this is just America. And they try to paint it like it's this America. When Democrats, I listen to a lot of liberal radio, and they'll say to black people, this system wasn't made for you. This constitution was written by a bunch of white slave owners. This country, now they're all elitists and they've all made it, and all their kids went to great schools. Whenever I get a chance to interact with Democrats, I always ask them, hey, what school did your kids go to? Oh, Whitney Young, Walter Payton, the agricultural school. Nobody has ever said to me, oh, they went to, I won't name a school, but you know, the neighborhood non-elite schools. But they make sure they made it, and then they'll turn around and tell everybody on radio or anybody listening to them, oh, but you can't make it. You need me to help make it. And I'm thinking that's a lie. And it's just, when I love when Jesse Jackson will say, well, Apple doesn't hire black people. And I'm thinking, both of my boys moved to Arizona, both of them got jobs at Apple. One of them still just got promoted in the Naperville store to an Apple genius. And I'm thinking, you know, well, Jesse Jackson told me that's not going to happen without him coming advocating for our cause.
Because you need to be herded and you need to be part of the livestock.
Yeah. You're not allowed to leave the plantation.
Yeah. That black card thing, you know, I've had very small brushes with it. Mm-hmm. I went to Turkey and I met some Turks. I wrote politics from the Turkish. You got me on the.
Yeah,
talk to you from the mountain. I was on Don Wade in Roma then.
Oh, wow.
From Turkey, from Mary, from the Virgin Mary's home.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was getting it from Greeks, like, what a traitor. You're not really Greek. You're not. And some of these weasels are still running around today, sucking up to Rom. Yeah, I know who you are, Andy.
And come don't and get worry, your Greek card.
I'm going to find you. I know where you are, man.
Isn't
hope
crazy?
You're listening. But yeah, what is that? I just don't like to be, I hate being herded.
And everybody else gets to think for themselves, the black people all have to think alike. And you know, when you have people like Candace Owens and all these other people that are coming out, I keep saying green and growing. It was hard for me to come out as a Republican. I came out just so slowly because if I were a lesbian or a drug addict, they think, well, we can pray for you or send you to rehab. But she's a Republican. There's no cure for that. And I couldn't keep it in anymore. And I came out and I keep thinking we need more and more people to come out. But you know, the more of us that are wake up and share the news of how we left the plantation, it makes everything that they're saying a lie because they're telling them that you can't leave and you have to stay in the city and you have to do this. I actually heard a woman on SiriusXM who has an amazing opportunity. 5 days a week, she's on for 3 hours a day, and she's no children, but she said to all you black people that are leaving the city, fleeing for better schools, don't do that, because if you go out to those suburbs, they don't care about your kids and they just want to drug them. I'm thinking, I've got 5 kids. Nobody's ever offered to drug any of my kids. The 2 middle ones, maybe they could have used a little something to help them not be so. Yeah. I'm just teasing. But I'm thinking, why is she putting this fear? And people think she's a learned woman. She's so educated. She's got this show. She must be right. You're selling out by leaving and trying to do better for your family.
The donkey plantation.
It's the plantation. And they have to keep everybody on it. How dare you leave? You're not allowed to leave. Get back over here. What do you mean? We all need to stick together. You know.
One thing I noticed is there's a point of... in the Democratic coalition that I don't think the Republicans are taking advantage of. Mm-hmm. And that is when there's a hotel that's going to be built in Chicago, mm-hmm. You look around and people are lined up and they're lined up for jobs. Although I know, you know, there are people, the racists say people don't want to work and the elitists say those aren't good jobs. But whatever you say, white people who get your kids in the public best schools, mm-hmm. The fact is people are lined up, and I'd say 98% of them are black, and they're lined up around the block, okay, or 2 blocks. And then comes the hiring. I don't see 98% black people working in these hotels. So the question is, when Trump started putting the, talking about immigration mm-hmm. and lowering, illegal immigrant, I'm an immigrant, so illegal immigration, we're talking about, and that lowers the price of labor on construction sites, for example.
Right.
I don't see the Republicans able to appeal to African Americans to say, look, we're not against immigration, we're against illegal immigration that impacts you economically.
Affects, and that's just so interesting. But you know what the sad part is, John? That I'm hearing from different people that unfortunately a lot of black people cannot, because they've been educated in Chicago public school system, they can't even complete the application process to get even an opportunity. But you're right. You hear liberal black people saying, we have to support illegal immigration. Look how white people treated us. And then when they come here and when you look in a neighborhood like Pilsen that looks exactly the same as it looked 40 years ago when I went to grade school over there, because they have a constant group of people coming in demanding grocery stores and everything, it's not blighted.
It's alive.
The same neighborhood, you go underneath the Viaduct at 22nd and Pulaski, it's empty vacant lots, no stores, because we're getting disproportionately targeted in the womb and we're getting disproportionately killed on the streets every day. We don't have a group. So they wonder all of a sudden, wait, the Hispanic coalition has all this power and we don't have any, and they're changing our football fields to soccer fields. Well, you're allowing them to come in illegally and you don't think they're going to turn around and have this power. And you know, it's so, it blows my mind that people don't see that we're not being mean. We're just saying that you need to come here legally like everybody else did. And you know what? As a descendant of slaves, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were written for us, not for illegals. And they're giving away our birthrights. That's not being mean. That's just being factual. And then you wonder why you can't get a job. And recently on WVON, they were saying, can you believe there's this bakery on 22nd and Cicero or something? They only hire people that speak Spanish?
Yeah.
Well, really? You think, well, that's where they all live. They came here illegally. That's where they migrated to. So in order for you to make money, you need to speak Spanish. So what? That happened. You don't see how you're allowing them to come here in the first place illegally, that all of a sudden they have a constant growth.
But why aren't the Republicans able to appeal to African Americans on economic grounds and say, not to play, you know, I don't want to be like a liberal, use race cards, but to appeal to their economic interests.
Like they're afraid in Chicago. One of our favorite conservatives calls them surrender Republicans. They just come out with their hands up. They don't want to negotiate. Just take whatever you want out of my pockets. I'm not going to. And they need to have somebody running for mayor. They need to have, even if they don't think they have a chance to win, but at least to get our message that we're about school choice. We're about limited government. We're about freedom. And we don't even have anybody to even combat all the people that are running for mayor right now. Let's be honest. They're all going to raise the taxes. None of them are going to make any improvements, really. They're all the same. Just a different, you know, different message.
I think so. I think there's difference, but we've got to do that on another show.
Another day. I would love to hear what you've done. Tell me who it is.
For right now, I just got a text under a viaduct, somebody has found your Lourdes High School jacket hiding up there. Stuck under the fence.
It's and one it of those satin, serve, like those DJ jackets. Yeah, I did have one of those.
And it might serve as residency for Stephanie Trussell to run for mayor.
Well, I would do it, and I've got all these Democrats telling me, these black Democrats, I would back you. Of course, they get paid to back anybody. And I'm like, sure, I don't think, again, I wouldn't have a chance. But there are other Republicans that actually live here that could actually run. And I just wonder, where's the power? What the Republican groups that we have here, I think they just hold like lunches and galas. Do they ever vet candidates?
White shoes, white belts,
just
golf
a dog
courses.
Catcher. Just vet a dog catcher. That's all I want. Somebody said, this is a Republican candidate. Can we get one alderman? They can have 49 and we can just have one.
For Stephanie Trussell, WLS of the Stephanie Trussell Show. And listen to her on Saturdays. For Jeff Carlin, WGN, executive producer of the Rokan and Anna Show. And for me, John Cass, nationally syndicated columnist. An overall good guy when you're not hating me. This has been another edition of the Chicago Way.